B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Getting to the bottom of the story in the middle of the day.
Former chapter head of the Turkey Association.
Hello, Walter.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
High fly ball, center field. Backing up, Hicks turning. Watch it, watch it. It's gone again. Oh, Rafi.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
He is something else.
He throws up a changeup and see ya. That is special. I don't know what to say. All I know is a three-run Johnson. We got a 6-5 game.
His 19th home run, second of the ball game.
This kid, vote for Devers. Hello.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that
I'll tell you what. I was really excited. I was so excited. Devers hit the home run to make it a one-run game last night, McCone, and they were so close.
I thought we were going to play a JD, a Bogarts, or a Verdugo highlight coming back.
Oh,
no?
Oh, man.
That wasn't in the mix, huh?
They were so close. They were right there. They were right there. Oh, shucks. I thought they had him. Unfortunately, about one player showed up to the ballpark last night for the Red Sox. His name was Rafi Devers. Hour number three, Adam Jones, Tim McCone, in for Zoe and Beetle, taking you up until 2. By the way, I guess Zoe called in one of the breaks. And I don't know what he had to offer, but it could have been something similar to what he tweeted last night at 9:14, McCone, which is, I love beach.
Love that.
Is what Zoe tweeted there at about quarter past 9 last night.
He's grinding out the first round of the NHL draft at that point, I'm sure.
Yeah. Hanging on every
with
pitch.
With his big board?
Hanging on every pitch of the Red Sox and Yankees, yeah. I'm sure. Is the sun set at 9:15?
That feels a little late, no?
Yeah, I don't know.
You're not great with the sun, huh?
No, I don't pay attention to it. I mean,
I had no idea that it was bright out at 6 in the morning.
I mostly stay shut inside. Yeah. I don't bother with the daylight all that much. But anyway, not to get sidetracked. It's interesting. All the slobbering over Rafi Devers on that Nesson broadcast, we really should pull a bunch of that. Hashtag vote Devers, which they have on the baseball field, for God's sakes. You know, oh, he is special. We should really clip all these and like all the slobbering over Rafi Devers that they do for when they let him walk in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Like we should mark tape on all of this, you know, over the top. And they're not wrong. I mean, he is special and he deserves to be slobbered over. And I guess you should hashtag vote Devers. But you know what else you should do? You should hashtag pay Rafi Devers. That's what you should be doing. Like, you're in this weird spot if you're the Red Sox where you're like, make him an all-star. Oh, my God, he's amazing. He's the only guy that shows up. He owns Gerrit Cole. Well, so why don't you pay him?
Right.
Why don't you give him a deal? Why don't you keep him on this team for the long-term future? Shouldn't be all that difficult. What's the number now, Milliken? What's the number to keep him?
You're at least 350.
Okay. And like,
it's going up. Listen, you're talking about a guy who has the highest WAR. I know analytics, whatever it may be. He's ahead of Aaron Judge this year. So this is like the type of player who's been arguably the best guy in the American League this year.
So go ahead and pay him. Like, I don't even care what they cost themselves. Fine. You might have cost themselves yourselves by not paying him a year ago, a couple of months ago, whatever. Like, maybe the price tag's going up. Whatever it is, you should pay it. Like, I don't care what the price tag gets up to. You should pay it. You're the Red Sox. You should pay it. He's elite. You should pay him. But like, it is comical that the guy the team is refusing to pay right now, they're like, hashtag vote for him. And oh my God, he's so special. Like, no, we know he's special. Look at what he did last night. He owns Gerrit Cole for some reason. Or not for some reason, for God's sakes. And You know, for some reason, Garrett Cole just is lost against him, completely lost against him. You hear some of Garrett Cole after the game. He's like, oh, my God. Like, you know, the goal is even the best guys around 7 out of 10 times, like roll over to second base one time for me. Line out one time for me. It's like he's completely in Garrett Cole's Muppet head. Like he's in there. And the Red Sox, meanwhile, refuse to pay him. Like it's just this weird dichotomy playing out right before your face on Nesson last night.
It's really bizarre to me the way that the Red Sox kind of handle some of these bigger contracts. I'm actually like usually anti handing out the monster deal. I'm okay with you letting someone walk away. Xander Bogaerts, for instance, I think that you don't pay for past performance, right? A guy north of 30 at 30, that's fine. You're the Boston Red Sox. Rafael Devers is 25 years old right now. Like, if this is the definition of the guy that you hand that type of contract to, and one of the benefits of being a big market team is that you can do that with this player, it makes no sense to me that they can't reach a deal.
Oh, I thought Milliken was leaning in there. I'm sorry. I thought you had more to offer there. Yeah, I mean, look, we all want to pay him. We all want to pay him. I am more... I would have a limit on Bogaerts. I'm not just throw everything at Bogaerts, because I don't think Bogaerts is, and I've never thought Bogaerts is special. Betts was special. Devers feels like he's there. Yeah, I never really thought Bogaerts was quite in that very, very good player, but is he elite? Is he special? No. So it's not like I write Bogaerts a blank check, but they should pay to keep him, and they should definitely give him more money than Trevor Story, and they should offer him more than they're offering him. But Devers is the one playing out right in front of your face last night, and it's amazing. You know, like the offense, really the last few games has been nothing without Devers. He was out of the lineup for 2 days. And then he comes back and he's your entire offense last night against New York. And part of the reason you need to pay Devers is because you have nobody at first base. Like we talked about this earlier in the show. Like, my God, Franchi Cordero can't catch a pop-up. And I bet Kyle Schwarber probably flubs that pop-up last night too, because Schwarber wasn't good defensively at first base either, but at least he could hit. He's leading the National League in home runs. Like, the fact the Red Sox don't have a first baseman is insulting. It is. And having to watch Franchi flopping around last night, which ended up being a massive, massive run in the game. It was 5-2 and got to 6-2 on that play after the Red Sox had already trailed 5-0 to the Yankees. That ended up being just a massive, massive play in the game last night. And it's all because you cheap out at first base.
No, I mean, the fact that you're the Boston Red Sox and, again, have a $230 million payroll and haven't had a legitimate first baseman on your roster in 2 years is a joke.
It's a joke.
It's an absolute joke.
So, I look, that whole thing bothered me last night. I think Jackie Bradley's gotten off a little bit easy today. Because Bradley, at least, I know, I'll play the hits here, McCone. You know, Bradley butchered that ball in right field on the Aaron Hicks triple, which happened to play before. Again, it was 5-2. Hicks tripled, but Bradley played it into a triple. It's at least a double. And if you play it cleanly, maybe it's a play at second base. I don't know. And you play it into a triple, and maybe that's why he scores on that pop-up on the infield. So your Gold Glove outfielder, I think, is getting off pretty easy today. Franchi deserves to be raked over the coals. And the thing is, it's not really even his fault. It's he's playing out of position because either your owner cheaped out, your GM didn't want to allot his money differently. He wanted to pay a second baseman instead of a first baseman, or both. I mean, throw both on the table. But Franchi's getting raked over the coals, deservedly so. I feel like Bradley's gotten off a little easy for the play just prior to that, because he butchered that play in right field.
All right, that's fair. He butchered that play, but these are two different situations, right? This is an outlier in Jackie Bradley, who's usually a good defender, versus a guy that's being put in a position. He's not a first baseman.
Nope.
So you should expect plays like that to happen, despite the fact that it's a little league pop-up. I mean, mistakes like that have happened over the last year and a half now at first base, because you don't actually have a first baseman on the roster. Jackie Bradley Jr., yeah, he screwed up last night. That's fine. That's, again, the outlier in that situation. The first baseman is a bigger issue.
At least Bradley can swing the stick. I mean, at least he makes up for it at the plate. 617-779-0985. So all your thoughts on the Red Sox. They're lost last night. They're 9-19 in the division. There's only six teams in the American League over 500 as of today. Only six of them. Four of them are in the division, which means the Red Sox can't beat good teams, including the New York Yankees. Again, 617-779-0985. We have the Devers stuff on the table as well. Plus, oh yeah, Chris Sale spoke last night before the game and doesn't feel all that sorry, all that apologetic about destroying Tim McCone's hometown. And again, honestly, no one out there should take anything McCone says seriously on this.
That's fair.
Even if you think he's accurate, just understand he's wildly biased, because this is Worcester. that Chris Sale tore apart last night, but again, or a couple of nights ago, rather. But here's Chris Sale before the game. Again, not feeling all that sorry about destroying Tim McCone's backyard.
When I was young, I made mistakes. I'm not going to shy away from it. I acted like an idiot last night, and I've acted like an idiot before. I do it in the dugout. I've been told through the years, hey, take it to the tunnel. So you think you're in a safe space, and you think that you're in private. That's a place that you're not supposed to really have cameras. There's no public access to that, so I thought I was in, you know, kind of a safer spot. But, hey, it is what it is, man. It's who I am. It's what makes me a big leader. It's what makes me good at my job. Might not be the best for the public eye, but what is? Who's perfect? Name him. I'd love to shake his hand.
Gotcha there. Who's perfect, Tim? So, look, I didn't expect Mr. Anti-Vax to also be Mr. Safe Space. That is not what I expected. I did not take Chris Sale to be a safe space guy. Like, I really didn't expect it. I need my safe space, and I was in my safe space. People weren't supposed to be filming me in
no
my
cameras,
safe space.
No cameras,
no cameras.
Yeah, take it
in
to
my
the tunnel.
Safe space. What are you doing in there? I did not take Chris Sale to be a safe space guy. That shocked me.
The Drake LaRoche stuff, you don't consider him trying to make that a safe space?
It's a good point.
Please.
He did love LaRoche's kid.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little weird, quite frankly, that whole thing going back a few years to his time with the White Sox when Adam LaRoche, we were talking about this before the show. Adam LaRoche basically retired because he couldn't bring his kid to the ballpark
anymore.
So
weird. Such a weird move.
So, Milliken, yeah. I hate to say it, Milliken, you might be right. Maybe I should have known he's a safe space guy. I should have known that. Keep the government out of my decision making. Keep the media out of my safe space. So maybe that's just the kind of guy that Chris Sale is. But look, I didn't have the biggest problem with him ripping apart the... I thought it was, you know, the act of a toddler. And I thought he looked like a child. And I thought it was selfish because some of his freaking out was him being afraid that he wasn't going to come back to Boston and that he'd have to make another rehab start in that crap hole, McCone.
Thanks, man.
But, appreciate that.
That's great.
But when it comes from the lack of an apology from Sale, I have a bigger issue with that yesterday. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, you know, I acted like a seven-year-old. But then... But if I were a Bank of America, it's not like I work for Bank of America.
Yeah,
I do something
sports.
Different. This is my safe space. And effectively blaming people for filming him, like, I have a bigger problem with the reaction than the incident. Like, the incident I didn't love, but I wasn't freaking out about. I wasn't morally offended by. Like, this is offensive.
Look, I just think it was a selfish act by Sale. And look, I get it. And I'm going to sound like an old guy here saying that it's ridiculous that he was, you know, acting the way that he was. But what happens, and Maz brought this up yesterday too. Like, all right, what happens if he breaks a toe when he's doing that? And
yeah,
this
right.
guy that's thrown 43 innings since 2019, has been on the injured list all year long,
McCone.
Is now out again because he freaked out in Triple A Worcester?
He can't throw a pitch without getting himself hurt. Now he's going to destroy a clubhouse or a locker room or whatever he was in his safe space last night. And... of course he could have gotten himself hurt. I don't think that makes you sound like an old man. That's logical. He's the old man.
Yeah.
He's the guy who's frail and can't throw a pitch without injuring himself. Now he wants to rip a TV off the wall. It's stupid. It is stupid. So again, I didn't have as much of an issue about that. The bigger issue to me is his reaction, because that is offensive. 617-779-0985. But please give the man his safe space. Like, don't.
I'll talk to my guys at Polar Park. We'll see if we can get that done.
Could
for
you?
Him.
Like,
yeah.
Don't violate the sanctity of Chris Sale's safe space.
We'll be back there eventually. Yeah.
All I know, you know, he might as well be Sandoval, you know, scrolling through Instagram like an ass models in the bathroom. Like, that was his safe space. Get Chris Sale a safe space, is what he's going to need. And we can get to more of the Red Sox and their issues at first base. Why isn't Kyle Schwarber here again? Why don't they have a first? You're the Boston Red Sox. Why don't you have a first baseman? All that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
By the way, Hattie, I like
He's
your-
the calming voice of the Midday Show.
You're siding with PK. Hey, shut up! I'm going to ask you a question, dumbass!
Hardy.
I've never seen him snap like that.
On Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, still learning, right? I mean, we knew it wasn't going to be perfect. You know, he made a great play in the bunt, you know. Yesterday he dropped a ball, and just to learn, he's still learning. You know, he's working hard. He's getting better in a few things, but, you know, that stuff like that is going to happen.
Yeah, stuff like that's going to happen in Little League. in my beer league softball. Like that's how I played the outfield. I said this earlier, McCone. That's how I came in. I was like, in. Oh, no.
I have misplayed this.
Yeah. I swear to God, every pop-up off the bat when I played softball like 10 years ago. I hadn't played baseball since, junior high. I didn't play in high school. So I hadn't played baseball in forever. I couldn't read a pop-up anymore. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't read a pop-up anymore. That's Franchi Cordero. Except he's a professional and hasn't taken 10 years off, and it's not beer league softball and it's not little league. And by the way, he's still learning. He's 28 in September.
Yeah, it's over.
It's over. It's done. Over. And it's not his fault.
No.
Right? It's Franchi, I'm going to go full on late Robin Williams on you here. It's not your fault, kiddo. Like, it's not your fault, slugger. It's Chaim Bloom's fault. It's John Henry's fault. It's not your fault that you can't play first base. It was their plan to bring in Bobby Dalbec and you as the first baseman. Neither of you can field, and unfortunately, neither of you can hit. And ultimately, that's my real issue. If it's Kyle Schwarber out there butchering plays but making up for it with his bat, I'll take that all day long. I like Schwarber here. I wanted Schwarber back. I wish Schwarber were here over Trevor Story. Similar AAV. I'd rather have the big stick, no field at first base, then the all field, little bit of power, mostly don't hit, at second base, Trevor Story. Like, no contest for me. So, especially if the money's similar, and I know Schwarber works, and I'm still not really sure that Story does. He made a great play last night at second base. Phenomenal play. Yeah. And he's probably going to win the Gold Glove at second. So what?
Right, he's a shortstop playing second base.
What does that mean? What do I care? I don't care that he wins a Gold Glove at second base. I want the bat. It's insulting the Red Sox don't have the bat at first base. Schwarber or Story, McCone?
Schwarber.
Milliken?
Schwarber in the...
No. That's already enough.
No,
Milliken hates the Red Sox. It's good. Milliken hates Chaim Bloom and the Red Sox, and I like it. I'm happy we've gotten this out of you today. You hate where they're at. You think Bloom screwed up?
Yeah, I do, because look at it. All Chaim Bloom, the idea is to build and win at the same time, right? You want to do both. Tell me why you couldn't bring in Kyle Schwarber for a year or even up until the trade deadline or Tristan Casas, whatever the ideal plan was over the winter, where he could have played first base for you, filled that role this year, not crazy money. You already went over the luxury tax. Why can't you continue to go over it? Isn't that the whole point? If you want to be like the Dodgers, you reset, take advantage of it. Okay, Kyle Schwarber, you play first base at least for a year. After that, what's going to happen?
You're the DH.
Oh, Jay Martinez is leaving. Great. Oh, and you know what you should have done? Trade Bobby Dalbec, because then you can get prospects for him. And now he's not worthless, but close to worthless, because everyone realizes at best he's a platoon player.
Milliken hates the Red Sox.
It feels like it, doesn't it?
It's understandable. Yeah. I'm happy you finally see it from my side of the street. I've been there for like a decade, but good. Okay, good. So, look, you shouldn't have to choose, by the way, between Story and Schwarber. But, your cheap-ass owner doesn't want to go too deep into the luxury tax. Oh, he paid Trevor Story. What do you mean he doesn't want to pay? He didn't pay Trevor Story. He cheaped out on Bogarts. That's what they're doing. They don't want to pay Bogarts, so they got a deal on Trevor Story. And in the meantime, they got everybody off their back who don't think for themselves and go, oh, they're in the luxury tax. I guess they're not cheap anymore. Wrong. So if you have to choose because of this ownership group, I wish they had Schwarber. It's insulting they don't have a first baseman. And I don't care if that makes it sound like I'm 30 years out of touch with Major League Baseball and still lusting after Mo Vaughn at first base. I don't care. That's what I want. That's what the Red Sox should have. I can't believe they don't have a first baseman still. And trust me, I know. Schwarber would have missed that pop-up last night too. I'm not telling you he makes that play.
Right, he wasn't a first baseman either.
I am telling you he makes up for it with his bat. Franchi Cordero doesn't do that. But he's learning, McCone. He's almost 28. He's the kid who graduated college and moved back in with his parents and is living on the couch. Like, I mean, he's learning. I mean, he's going to figure it out. He's got it all figured out.
That felt like a personal shot towards me.
I mean, he's almost 28, but it's all going to work out for him. Why are you living on the couch?
No. We're good.
Been a rough day for you, McCone.
On a couch in Worcester, too. 617-779-0985. Let's go to Alex in Taunton. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, hi. I think, these guys can kick at television when nobody's watching them. They can hurt themselves. I mean, it's up to him. Why do we care? The media makes such a big deal about it, So what? He breaks a chair. If he hurts himself, yeah, he's stupid. But if he You know?
Well, then you just answered your question. Well, you just answered your question then. If he hurts himself, wouldn't that be an awful mistake?
Yeah, it would be an awful mistake. And so, you know, he's also been he hasn't played in the league for the last 2 years. I mean, he barely can play a season each year. But so what? He goes and kicks the TV. You guys are the ones who are making such a big deal about it.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, we are making a big deal about it because it's stupid.
Because he's a $150 million pitcher who hasn't pitched the last 2 years. Like,
and you think it's
stupid. Right.
I mean, meaning the caller. He thinks it's stupid. So, like, it was dumb. So we're ripping him for it. It's what we do. Welcome to Sports Talk Radio. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Look, this is good. Let's jump. Other people are waiting patiently, but let's jump this guy to the front of the line. It is his show. Zoe, hello?
What's going on?
Sup?
Hey, I'm down to Kate, and my phone's ringing because you guys played some podcast of death with two boring guys that sound like McCone.
Yes, that's accurate. We played Andrew Brandt. He was mid nap, and then he was interviewing Baker Mayfield's agent years ago, who I think had just woken up from his nap. So,
I thought it was electric.
It was good stuff. McCone thought they were bringing it. Yeah.
Okay, I'll be back Monday.
Okay, is that it?
Sorry, listeners. Love you guys.
That was a wonderful, wonderful cameo by Zoe. It's honestly very useful stuff.
I'm happy. I love beach.
I'm happy he called in. I should have, if in fairness, not to be Ted Johnson yesterday, we got done with our Bruce Arena interview and Ted goes, you know, I'd love for somebody to ask him about how he feels about not getting a stadium built. And I'm like, well, you could have just talked to him, Ted. So
it was an option.
Yeah, I mean, the interview just ended. I mean, you could have asked him do something that I accused Ted of doing, but I failed by not asking Zoe about his tweet there. That one's on me.
That's true.
I love beach. What were you up to? Was it bright out at that time of day? You know, were you listening to who was on last night? McCarthy, I think I heard.
Barth, I think it was. I think listening? I love beach kind of speaks for itself. You can connect some dots there.
McCarthy and Barthy was on last night. Yeah, you don't think he was listening to the two of those guys? Yeah, I feel like the dots could be connected.
Yeah.
I love beach. Okay. Well, again, thank you very much, Zoe, for chiming in and making your presence known during vacation. Anthony is in Waltham on the Red Sox. Anthony, go ahead.
A big problem is their lack of production outside of Devers in terms of power. I mean, Bogart's still paying. He has 34 RBIs, 7 home runs. If they're smart, they pay Trey Turner, who has twice as many RBIs and is 3 times the player Bogart's is. He's not worth $35 million for 14 home runs.
Yeah, so look, I mean, he's probably going to hit north of 4. Is that what he's on pace for, I'm assuming he's saying? But he's going to hit north of 14 home runs. But I agree there shouldn't be a blank check for Bogarts. Like, I would have a limit on Bogarts because I don't think he's special. Now, am I contradicting myself with the Red Sox cheaping out? Like, I guess at the end of the day, it's not my money, but like...
I don't think that's cheaping out, though. You're talking about a guy that's now north of 30 that's going to command top dollar. I don't think that's smart. The thing that drives me crazy, Rafael Devers is in mid-20s right now. These are two completely different situations.
Right, and so to me, like, those are the kind of guys you can't let get away. Mookie Betts, you should have never... Mookie Betts was a special MVP-caliber player. Rafi Devers is a MVP-caliber player. Bogarts ain't winning any MVP.
Oh, he's a nice player.
And I guess that to me is the difference. Is Trey Turner worth paying?
I like Trey Turner, but if you're going that route, you're signing a 30-plus-year-old shortstop who his game is really a lot speed, athleticism.
Yeah, well, exactly.
You know, listen, with Xander Bogaerts, the other thing
is, too.
Worked
with Carl Crawford.
Huh?
I said it worked with Carl Crawford.
Oh, exactly. Thank you. But you look at Xander Bogaerts. At the same time, I know the rumor came out that he wanted top shortstop money. If you just respected him and you didn't lowball him and insult him, I bet he'd come in right around 26, 27, 28, somewhere in that range with the right length. And we've already seen it. He's kind of walked it back. You can tell he wants them to negotiate. Obviously, Boris shut that down. But he's telling you he wants to be here. It shouldn't take crazy money. And with the money you have coming off the books, I just don't see a reason why you can't get him and Devers.
Okay, so we all want Devers back. What if it's Judge versus Bogarts? Judge or Bogarts? It's a hypothetical. It's never going to happen, but hypothetical, Milliken. Judge or Bogarts?
I'd probably go Bogarts. Yeah. Simply off Judge injury history, big body. I don't think he'll age extremely well long-term.
You don't think the 11-foot-tall guy is going to age particularly well? I don't think that's a hot take, Milliken. He's not going to. Yeah.
And they're forcing him to play like center field a lot of the time. Like, his body's going to take a bang.
See, now, I can tell I've gotten under McCone's skin with the Worcester stuff because he just really lashed out at
Milliken.
He really just lashed out. So I gotta tell you, I got under McCone's skin a little bit with all the Worcester hate. Which is, you know, really it's Chris Sale's Worcester hate.
That's fair.
Really, you're mad at Chris Sale. You're not mad at me.
No, 100%. Absolutely.
It's misplaced anger.
Roll out the red carpet for the guy and he starts smashing TVs.
But hang on. So I would take Judge over Bogarts. I shouldn't do that.
Why?
Because he's better. Because, again, he's probably going to win. He might win. If Devers doesn't win the MVP this year, Judge is going to.
Which one do you think is going to age better?
And
would be my
let me give you another answer. Judge might actually get me to watch some baseball games. Probably not. But Judge might actually get me to tune in because he's interesting. Like, he's just, he is giant. And he does hit bombs. And, again, I might be stuck in 1995, but that's what I want to see. I kind of agree with the last caller on this front with Bogarts. Like, Bogarts has more power than seven home runs, but I'm not tuning in to watch doubles. I want to see somebody hit home runs. So I think Judge is more entertaining, and I do think he's better.
I do think he is a better ball player, but I think when you're comparing Judge, he's going to want $300 million. I think that's where the conversation goes. It's not really him versus Xander Bogarts. It'd be him versus Rafael Devers.
Okay. Well, I don't want him over Devers. I will say that. But, you know, if I can only pick... Tony Maz and Carrabas talked about this like a month ago. If I can only pick two out of the three, and you're the Red Sox, you should get all three, but then that's not really a game. There's no interest in that. I'd take Devers and Judge. But that makes me stupid, I guess, according to McComb. Although I can't tell anymore, because I can't tell if you're just lashing out about Worcester. 617-779-0985. I didn't realize I wanted to do this. I think I kind of want to lash out about that Bruins draft pick. Now,
Not a big Matthew Poitras guy, huh?
Now, look, I didn't watch a lot of the Gulev storm. Is that what he played last year? The Guelph storm?
Do you even care?
I didn't watch a lot, but I'm getting sent information on the pick the Bruins made at 54, this center from the Guelph storm, Gulev storm, wherever he played, and I do kind of want to lash out about it. So we'll mix that in with all your Red Sox phone calls right after the update from McComb.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Beaker. Opinionated.
Nefarious is nautical.
And passionate.
Not ignorance is bliss.
Solak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, they were missing Judge tonight, and I think Rizzo, I think those two guys lengthened that lineup a huge amount. Not going to say the guys they had in there today are bad at it by any means, but felt like another big league lineup, to be honest. You know, they just had a lot of good takes on sliders and cutters, and then when I was missing up, they were taking it. So props to them.
This bum, Josh Winkowski, last night gets rocked by, in his words, McCone, an average lineup. You don't understand, Josh. The reason they kept all their good hitters out is because they don't respect you.
Because they don't need them. Yeah.
Their average lineup smacked you around. They sat Aaron Judge. They sat Anthony Rizzo because they're not afraid of you. They don't respect you. And you go up there, I think it's a pretty average lineup. It's like any other lineup in Major League Baseball. You don't even know what lineups look like in Major League Baseball. You just got there. And you don't know anything about ballparks either while you're at it. He's the guy who just stuck his foot in his mouth crapping all over Wrigley Field last week. Like, I've already heard enough out of this kid. He's not good, Milliken. Sorry, he's not good. He's the whole return for Andrew Benintendi, just about. And he's popping off in the mouth. I've had enough of this kid already. Nice couple of days for the farm system, by the way. Brian Bayo and now this. But I digress. Just an average lineup. You don't even know what an average lineup looks like. You have no idea. You're used to pitching at Polar Park. No offense, McCone. But, you know, you're used to pitching in Worcester. You have no idea what's going on. And now you're going to crap all over the Yankees lineup? Their bums smacked you around. So what does that make you? 617-779-0985. It's Jones and McCone in for Zoe and Beadle. We're here until 2. With all your phone calls, I promised a little bit of a ripping of the Bruins pick. What's the kid's name again, McCone?
Matthew Poitras.
Yeah, not the kid who used to play at Kentucky.
Kentucky, Alex Poitras.
He's not Alex Poitras. National champion, I believe. At the University of Kentucky. But Matthew Poitras. And I go, okay. Like, hopefully the Bruins don't do the same thing they've done in the past with some of these highly selected Don Sweeney center picks, right? You know, maybe the most famous one is Trent Frederick. We want to get some jam at pick 29 or whatever it was at the end of the first round. Like, you're drafting a fourth liner in the first round. Yeah. Like, if anything sums up this organization and how they're running things at the draft, that's it. You're targeting jam in the first round at 29 or wherever Frederick was drafted. I backed out of it. Other highly targeted centers, Jack Studnicka and John Beecher. Okay, just strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. Beecher's been like, Beecher can't score at Michigan.
No.
He
not pretty.
He can't produce at the University of Michigan. Never mind the AHL, where at least Studnicka can produce. Never mind the NHL, where nobody the Bruins draft can, save for Charlie McAvoy. So he doesn't exactly have a great track record drafting centers. And I said, well, hopefully it's not the same thing. I mean, hopefully they're not going to do it again. Reading here, and I don't pretend to follow elite prospects, but this story's been sent to me a couple of different times, right? Metal Bruins only sent me this. They sent me the full scouting report, but the first one I got it from was, let's see. Why is Marcus Smart still here is what it says.
Oh, there you go.
Which again,
so this is your burner. Okay.
No, this is my burner sending it to myself. They ultimately conclude that if Poitras continues to improve his defensive game, if McCullough, so he's got some work to do, but if the Bruins' second round pick, their first pick of this draft, number 54 overall, they just traded their third round pick. Is that right?
Yes, they did.
Good. That's good. If their newest draft pick, the center from the Guelph Storm, Gulev Storm, continues to improve his defensive game, not even sure they're going to do that, he could fill a fourth-line checking role in the NHL. His ability to rise in the lineup will depend on how far he can push his playmaking skills. To which I say, like, this is what you're doing? You're drafting another checking line guy? You need centers. You need top six centers in the organization. I'm like, good. I said this to you off the air. I'm like, at least they drafted a center.
Yeah.
Like, at least they get it. You need center depth. You don't have any center depth. So at least they drafted a center. You're drafting a guy who's a fourth line grinder again? I mean, I guess it's not the first round. I have less of a problem with it in the second round than the first round. But what are you doing? And that's only if he improves his defensive game. He could fill a fourth line checking role. Like, they're not even sold. Elite Prospects isn't even sold. He's a fourth line checker. And that's what you drafted in the second round? Get this guy out of my face. Get Don Sweeney out of my face. Why do we have to watch another draft like this? Why is he still here? He obviously hasn't changed his ways.
No.
He obviously hasn't learned anything. Get him out of my face if this is what he's doing.
I mean, when you look at just kind of the approach overall this offseason, it's hard to kind of come up with the game plan for the Bruins and what kind of the vision for this franchise is moving forward. We'll see what they do the rest of this draft. Like you mentioned, too, they just traded out of the third round. So they picked up another fourth rounder.
The pick was so bad. The pick was so bad that they're like, we better get out of this draft. Yeah.
Let's not do this again.
Yeah, it's you know. It's like putting Ben Stiller at the end of dodgeball in front of a bunch of food. Like, they just can't help themselves. They're like, look, there was a fourth line center there. We can't make any more picks. Okay. Like, honestly, like I can't help myself. I need to save myself from myself. Trade away all the rest of the picks. I'll take another fourth line center. Like, I can't help myself. I can't resist. I can't prevent myself from doing it. Don Sweeney at least knows his foibles. He at least understands. 617-779-0985. Frank's in New Hampshire on the Bees. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, Adam, love your night program. Listen every night. So you cannot let them trade away Poster for a couple of lousy first-round picks. It'll never work out. But this, you just can't let them do it. You got to pay them $11.5 million, 8 years. You just got to do it. Just got to swallow it and do it. Listen, this is the solution, and the Bruins aren't going to like the solution. To sign Bergeron, $6 million, and Krejci for $4 million.
Okay, well, hang on. They don't have the money to do that. And second of all, the number might be north of that, as we found out earlier today. Joey Mack talked to John Wallach this morning. We're going to play that coming up. But I would give Pasternak pretty much whatever he wants. I mean, I guess I'd have a limit. But if we're talking 9, 9.5, 10, 10.5, I'm paying Pasternak. They shouldn't let him go. But I found it interesting that DeBrincat went for a bunch of picks yesterday, including the 7th overall pick. I know DeBrincat had 40-whatever goals last year, 40, 41 goals last year. And he's young,
yep.
But I don't think he's thought of the same way as Pasternak. Maybe I have that wrong. Maybe I'm too high on Pasternak. I don't follow the whole NHL, so maybe I don't know enough about DeBrincat's trade value. But if he's going for 3 picks, including the 7th overall pick, I'd imagine you could have gotten more than that for Pasternak. So I found that interesting. The only thing I'd caution is, like, if you're not going to trade him now, then you have to re-sign him. And he's going to have you over a barrel because you can't let him walk for nothing. Although I say you can't, knowing the Bruins, they probably will. Ah, whoa, we got this. We just drafted this Poitras kid. I mean, he's a fourth line grinder if he solves his defense. So, you know, we got more depth on the way, more forward depth on the way organizationally. 617-779-0985. Joey Mack was on this morning with Wallach and Ted and Joe Murray. He gave a number for Patrice Bergeron, who just got his coach axed. Now apparently he's chasing every last dime. Let's get to that. And, oh yeah, why'd the Bruins pivot away from David Quinn again? Oh, we may have the answer next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Here are Zolak and Bertrand.
Where else does that happen?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Bruins have talked to him a few times, and they're just basically trying to figure out what's the best way to progress here. And from what I have heard, is it's probably, if and when it happens, it's probably going to be a one-year deal, incentive-laden deal, probably in the range of about $7 million. And look, it's good to have Bergeron back. And a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, he waited to find out what the coaching deal, you know, was going to be. And it had nothing to do with Bruce Cassidy. It had everything to do with how he felt physically. Look, there's a lot of hard minutes on that body, right? I mean, he plays all out all the time. He's done it for a while. And he had that elbow surgery. And once he had it right away, that was kind of an indication with, okay, well, you know, maybe he is going to think about coming back. You know, went on vacation, spent some time with his family, tried to figure out what the next step was, talked to a lot of people close to him who have been in the game and, you know, currently in the game and some guys who are no longer in the game. And he decided that, okay, no, I'm not ready to retire. I'm ready to come back.
Joey Mack, Joe McDonald earlier today with Wallach and Ted and Joe Murray. It's Adam Jones, Tim McCone in for Zoe and Beadle as we come up on 1 o'clock. Not only did Patrice Bergeron get his coach fired. Sorry, Joey Mack. I'm not going to take your word on that one. He got the coach fired. Coach was fired. He's back. Krejci's back. DeBrus rescinds his trade request. Not only did he get the coach fired, apparently he wants a raise. Apparently, Patrice Bergeron's chasing every last dime just to come back. $7 million.
And he's not coming back to win a cup. So,
no, I mean, you might as well get paid. Yeah. You might as well get that money. Which, look, even if it's incentive-laden, and I remember the Iginla contract may have been structured this way, where, you know, you give him a lower base salary, maybe some easily attainable bonuses that would roll over to the following year, and Bergeron just says, well, whatever, your cap is screwed this year because they have no cap space.
Yeah.
This is why the idea they're going to sign Nazem Kadri or something like that is a joke. They don't have any money to sign Bergeron. Never mind bring in somebody else. So, you know, not only is your cap screwed this year in a real hard cap league, but now I'm going to screw your cap next year too, which is just great. Thanks a lot, Patrice. Like, again, St. Patrice chasing every last dime and getting his coach fired on the way out the door. $7 million is the number. Is he worth it?
No. I mean, he is. I guess here's my problem with the Bruins overall. I just don't know what the plan is moving forward.
You don't have one. Distance yourself from that. There isn't one. I mean, the plan is there is no plan. It's clear as day.
Right. So no, for me, he's not.
Okay. Tell me what you're peeling off the roster to do it. Are you just peeling off Foligno and stuff to give Bergeron some money this year? Fine. Go ahead and give him $7 million. But like the idea that he was going to take a hometown discount, that's out the window.
It's not true.
He wants a raise. You know, I mean, if it's actually $7 million, he wants a raise. Not much of one, but he wants a raise. And it's probably because McAvoy just got paid and maybe Pastrnak is about to. And he's like, look, guys, I did just solid for most of my career. So I'm going to need a few more bucks here. By the way, we do have a little bit of breaking news on the Bruins front. Go ahead, Tyler, if you could.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Bruins have done it. They've done it. They've taken another bottom six center, McCone. Another grinder. I hate to say there's no plan. I mean, shame on me for saying there's no plan. The Bruins do have a plan. They're taking every fourth line grinder under the sun in the NHL draft, and hopefully they can just have a whole team of Trent Frederick. So who's the latest that they took?
Yeah, we've got Cole Spicer. Here's a quote. Spicer is a hardworking center.
Related to Sean, you think?
Absolutely, absolutely. Spicer is a hard, same body build. Spicer is a hardworking center with average offensive skills.
Oh, good.
Projection, Spicer has the makeup of a typical middle or bottom six forward in today's NHL. He works hard, gets to high danger areas, and has some offensive upside of the shot.
If I had to guess middle or bottom six, I think I know where he's going to wind up. That's if he ever gets to the NHL. Now, look, I don't mean to be pile on too much. This is a fourth-round pick. This is probably where you should take players with jam and fourth-line grinders, like I understand it. But, like, they've taken three centers. They just took another one. It's on the screen here on NBC Sports Boston. Dan's. Plural, not one Dan, two. Well, honestly, why draft one when you can draft two, McCone?
Yep.
Dan's.
Yeah, good luck.
Lockmelis?
We're gonna blow past that during headlines. Yeah.
Lockmelis? You think he's French? You think he's from Quebec? Is he Quebecois?
That sounds right.
Lockmelis?
I think he's Latvian.
Oh, well, then throw that out the window. Yeah. Dan's, though, again, you got two Dan's with this pick, which I like. He's the third center the Bruins have taken. And just let me guess, before I've even seen or sniffed a scouting report, got to be a bottom six grinder.
I mean, I'm trying to find
just
one.
Just has to be. I don't even need to look it up. Has to be another grinder. So, again, the Bruins in the second round went grinder. In the fourth round went grinder. Bergeron wants a raise after he got the coach fired. And, oh, yeah, maybe the most infuriating thing the Bruins did is pivoted off who they actually wanted to hire. I was reading DJ Bean, DG Pucks, last night on Twitter. And here's what he had to say. Just talked to David Quinn. Good for him, by the way. So he reached out to David Quinn. He said, all right, you know, the Bruins are obviously embarrassed by who they're bringing in. They flushed the thing down the toilet right before the 4th of July, buried the hire, which I've never seen in my life. And DJ said, well, let me talk to some of the other guys who were in the mix. So he talked to David Quinn. He never told anyone he was getting the Bruins job, but he did feel good after meeting with ownership. Sense that I get, and now this is DJ projecting, the sense I get is the Bees may have floated it out there to gauge media and fan reaction, and that sunk him. Not happy with how his time at BU and the Rangers was represented, which, how do we misrepresent your time at BU? You right. Choked away a national title. And the Rangers, I think you made the playoffs one time. It was in the bubble, the COVID bubble, and you got swept, and you didn't win anything. So, I mean, look, I mean, Jim Montgomery at least won a national championship. Jim Montgomery at least won a round in the playoffs. The 1 year, he only coached for 1 year and change and got to the playoffs and won a round. So I don't know how we're mischaracterizing what David Quinn did during his time as a head coach at BU or the Rangers. DJ says, furthermore, the Bruins say there was no leak on their end and they don't like the season. Oh, I'm sorry. So they circle back. This is an hour later. Okay. Apparently the Bruins reached out to DJ. Bruins say there was no leak on their end, and they don't like the suggestion there might have been. Vehemently incorrect, quote-unquote, said whoever yelled at DJ. They hate my sense. Hate it. And so this is incredible to me. I mean, it shouldn't be that shocking. The Bruins wanted to hire David Quinn, and they put it out as a trial balloon. And then it got ripped, and so...
We're going to backpedal.
They went to their second choice. I mean, again, I wish they would have taken this track with Sweeney or Cassidy.
Right.
Like, why don't you listen to your fan base and the media types? Like, it's our fault that David Quinn didn't get the job now, or your fault out there listening that David Quinn didn't get the job. Why don't you listen to your fans on Cassidy? If you did that, he'd still be here. And why don't you listen to your fans on Don Sweeney?
Give him the extension.
That's
right.
What I've never heard. Many people have said this. I've never heard everyone so unified in any fan base ever in this city about anything. Everybody wants him out of a job, and that's before his crappy draft today. So why didn't you listen to us on that? Why don't you listen to us when it matters on PR and not on your next head coach? Why didn't they listen to us on Sweeney? They should listen to us on Sweeney. But wow, they didn't like the way it was framed, the way David Quinn was framed in their trial balloon that they sent out. So they pivoted to their second choice. That's the way to run a team, I think, McCone. That's the way to do it.
No, it's a recipe for success, no doubt. All the great organizations. Twitter poll, quickly. Who should we hire? Yeah.
Clearly things have changed over there. They're still drafting fourth-line grinders in the second round. And they're just, whatever way the wind is blowing on public sentiment, they're capitulating. 617-779-0985. Love the baseball team in this city. Love the hockey team as well. The Celtics at least got to an NBA Finals last year, but that's, of course, coming apart, too. Let's get to that right after the headlines from McCone.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.